The seeds is in the letter seed. Sowing the seed, but it's also the seeds of love. Hallelujah. I didn't say sowing machines of love. I said sowing the seeds of love. And I was thinking the other day, God's been talking to me about love. Just hit me every day just about. And I'm growing in that. And I'm more and more is coming to me all the time. And I remember on last Wednesday, I believe it was, God spoke to me a word. And I was just writing as fast as I could. Just typing out as fast as I could. And then I come into that service that night. And then Pastor Dale Smith, who was here from Australia, he was preaching on love. And man, it has been awesome. And I said, oh man, that's so good. I said, oh, I want to share that. Then when Pastor Greg Moore came last Sunday morning and Sunday night, you know, there was an opportunity for people to share. And I wanted to share this. And I said, oh, I'm on the edge of my seat. Oh, somebody hold me back. And I thought, you know, we need to give some other people a chance. And it was like God spoke to me and said, no, you're going to share this. Don't share it now. You're going to share it Wednesday. And I mean, I was just like, okay, trust in the Lord. Sure enough, Pastor Bob calls out of nowhere and says, hey, would you be able to do Wednesday night? I said, yes, I know exactly what to minister on. The Lord's already given it to me. So I know it's a word in due season. It's a word for this body. It's a word that we need to pay attention to and listen to. Anytime God starts speaking through the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know that word, he wants it to be established. Amen? So I was thinking about the fact that John was known as the apostle of love. And it wasn't that Jesus loved him more than he loved the other disciples, but I believe that it was that John loved Jesus more than the other disciples. And you can see situations where John was closest to Jesus. He was the one sitting right next to him at the Last Supper. He was the one that went with him all the way to the cross and was standing there. He was the one that received his mother as Jesus died. He said, this is your son. He was known as the apostle of love. If you read the books of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Gospel of John, you'll see that there's a lot of love in there. And I thought it interesting too, a lot of the scriptures in those books start off with beloved. He says beloved. He was known as John the Beloved, but yet he's calling the body of Christ beloved. I think that's awesome because he was giving what he had. He was beloved, so he was beloving others. Amen? And so he was known as that, and I think we would all agree that God loves everybody the same. He loves us all the same. He loves everyone. He can't love you any more tomorrow than he does today. He can't love you any more than somebody else sitting on the other side of the room, or no matter what you've done. I believe that the Lord loves you no matter what, and God loves you. His love is great. And so he loves everyone the same, but how many of you would agree that not everyone loves God the same? So the Lord spoke to me and said, if there's any growing to do, if there's any change that needs to take place, it's not growing in God's love for us, but it's going to have to take place in us growing in our love for him. And so I was just asking the Lord, okay, God, this is good. It just hit me as a revelation. It's so simple, but yet so good. I need to grow in my love for you. How do I do that? How do I grow in love? And I thought for a second, okay, first of all, let's get to the root of this. What is love? And a lot of times we go to dictionaries or we go to the internet or Wikipedia and we search love and we say, God, you know, internet, what is love? But you really can't go to the world to define love. Because the world, they may have their definition of love, but it's not the same definition of love that the Bible has. So you go to the Bible. If you have a question, go to the Bible first. It's the Word of God. It's the ultimate authority. It's not man's opinion. And God's opinion makes every man's opinion irrelevant. And so tonight I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm not preaching something that I think. I'm preaching God's Word and what God is speaking. And so I wanted to see what God is. And God is love. Amen? God is love. So really the definition of love is God. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. Again, this is not going to be a real deep thing, but yet I believe it reaches to the depths of who God is. Because God is love. And you can go as far and as deep as you want to as you study love. So how do we grow and how do we sow the seeds of love? How do we grow in our love? Number one is through communication. If you're taking notes, communication is how you grow. How can I grow in my love toward God? I'll tell you how. I can grow in my communication with God. When we're young, we tend to communicate a lot more than as we get older. A lot of times we'll communicate when we're kids, but then we don't communicate as we grow. And it's important to keep the communication and the lines of communications spiritually the same way. Keep those open with God. And you really cannot know somebody unless you have communication with them. You may know about somebody, but you cannot really know somebody until you communicate. How many of you here know Abraham Lincoln? Let me see your hand. Awesome. Wow. A lot of y'all know Abraham Lincoln. Wow. How many of y'all know about Abraham Lincoln? Let me see your hand. Awesome. Wow, what a difference. A lot of you know about Abraham. It was a trick question. A lot of you know about Abraham Lincoln, but if you know Abraham Lincoln, we need to have you come up and lay hands on you for communicating with the dead. Amen? That's called witchcraft. It's not good. You may not know him, but you know about him. And there are a lot of people that they know a lot about God, but they don't know God. And there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus or knowing about the Bible and knowing the Bible and knowing him. You know him through communication. And like I said, we almost start every relationship with communication. Every relationship starts with just a burst or just an acceleration of communication. When we have our little boy, Samuel, he's 4 years old, and he is constant communication. I mean, I thought I liked to communicate, and then I found somebody that likes to communicate more. And he's 4 years old, and he'll be, "Dad, Dad, 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 Dad," and I'm busy, and I'm doing stuff, and I'm working, and yet he's trying to communicate, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And sometimes I just have to stop and just say, "Yes, Samuel, what is it?" And he'll say, "I love you, Daddy Desert Hedgehog." I'm like, "I love you too, Bubba Desert Hedgehog." I don't even know what he's being at that moment. But he wants to communicate. He's communicating his love. And I find that, you know, we need to keep that. And I think about it in those times when he's saying, "Dad, Dad, Dad." I'm thinking, "What?" And the Lord's just speaking to me and saying, "Hey, communicate with him now. And keep those lines of communication open and sow those seeds of communication in your son, because there may be someday when you're going to him saying, 'Son, son, 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 I want some communication.'" And trying to communicate with him. But we got to keep those lines of communication open. And sometimes it takes effort. And it takes answering those questions. He's always asking me questions on the way to school almost every day. "Dad, tell me about the Arctic chameleon." I said, "Well, son, I really don't think there is such a thing as an Arctic chameleon." But he'll ask questions. "Tell me this. Why is this?" You know how kids are. But then as they get older and become teenagers, they quit asking questions because then they know everything. You know how that works. Is it possible that maybe we get the same way in the spirit? Think about it. We're constantly going to God. "God, what about this? What about this?" We're seeking God. And then after a while we get, "I can handle this. I don't need God." You know, we don't communicate with him like we should. And we're not being led by the Spirit like we once were. And we need to open those lines of communications with the Lord again and watch your love, watch you grow in God. Watch that just explode in your life. These are things that I've been living these things. And I had a time where I had just kind of, it seemed like a distance. And I'm thinking, "God, I know you haven't changed in your love for me. What's the problem? What's the deal?" And I'm realizing I have grown cold in my love for him. So I started to open up those lines of communication. Started communicating more. Spending a lot of time in prayer. I mean, just crying out to God. Spending one-on-one time with him is so vital. It's so important. And the fact is, you can't communicate maybe with somebody who's dead from the past. But you can communicate with Jesus because he's alive. Amen? Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. He has a physical body and he can speak to you through his spirit, and it is perfectly legal and it's perfectly godly for you to do that. And you need to do that. That's the one thing I love about God. He is alive. I'm not going to go communicate with Buddha. Buddha's dead, y'all. I'm not going to communicate with Muhammad. He's dead. But Jesus is alive. Amen? He is living. He's alive. So I'm going to communicate with him. As kids get older, they do stop communicating as much with you, and they start communicating more with somebody who might be a potential spouse. And that's not a bad thing. It's good to have those times of communication. Whenever I first met Ashley, I started to communicate with her intensely. I wanted to spend time with her constantly. Communication was vital as we were first courting. And I thought, man, I want to know everything I can about this girl. And so we would spend, back then our cell phones, they had time limits on them. Like you could, I had a service that nights and weekends were free. And so it wouldn't cost on my minutes. And I knew I'll run up my minutes if I talk to her during the day. And I'll have $1 million phone bill or something. So I thought, well, I'll have to wait till 9 o'clock. And I finally broke the news with her that I wasn't rich. I acted like I was at first for a while. And then I had to say, babe, I'm broke. And you know what? She loved me anyway. Hallelujah. I said, we can't go out to eat like this every night. I'm sorry. I'll just have to confess. And I thought, man, I hope this isn't a deal breaker. And of course it wasn't. She said, oh, that doesn't matter. We can go to my mom's house and eat. We can go to the park. We can do stuff for free. You don't have to treat me like this. And I said, well, praise God. Well, we believe God for more, and God has blessed us, and we are blessed. Hallelujah. But to save money, I would have to wait till 9 o'clock to talk to her. And so, man, it would be 9 o'clock at night when I would call her. And, man, we'd be on the phone for hours. My arm would get so tired of holding the phone. We didn't have good speaker phones back then either. My arm would get so tired, I would hold it up to my phone. I remember taking a rubber band and strapping it around my head and putting it and just walking around with this phone on my head for hours. If you look at pictures of me, my hair looked different back then because I had like a ring around. People thought it was a chili bowl, but really it was just because I was on the phone with my wife for so long. And we talked and talked and talked. And I mean, I'd almost fall asleep. But you know, I got to thinking about, man, I used to do the same thing. I remember when I was little, we had all-night prayer meetings. It was awesome. We would stay up literally all night. I remember one time as a teenager, man, I was just so on fire for God, and I was so hungry for God. And I literally was trying to read the Word and stay awake, and I fell asleep and woke up on my knees with my face on my bed next to my Bible. And I just thought, whoa, oh my gosh. I just fell asleep reading the Word. I was so hungry. And I started to get away from that as time went on. And as I did, I found that I didn't have that communication and that love for God like I used to have. So I decided, you know what, I'm gonna start opening those lines of communication again. I'm going to go start spending some extended period of time with God. I'm going to go get away and just seek God's face like I've never sought His face before. I want to be more on fire for God than I've ever been before. How do I do that? Communication. You need to sow into your... And if you're having issues in your marriage, you might want to sow some communication seed into your marriage. I've noticed, too, that maybe going out with a big party with my wife and having a bunch of people is not quite the same as if I take her out on a date night where it's just me and her, because it's undivided attention. And I'm telling you, if you'll do that, communicate with somebody you love, your love will grow. If whether it's a kid, whether it's a teenager, whether it's your spouse. And if your love isn't growing as much as you would like, then just make a conscious effort to spend time with them regularly. If you're too busy to do that, you might wake up early. Maybe get up an hour early and say, we're going to start waking up early. We're going to spend time together. It's important to do because they're worth it, and that relationship is worth it. So that's how you'll grow. Ephesians 5:17. Turn there if you have your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. I like to preach the Word. Amen. If it's not the Word, then it's just your opinion. Which your opinion is fine. But I love to hear the Word. Ephesians 5:17. If you got your Bibles. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How do you be filled with the Spirit? Get this next verse. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You might need to open up those lines of communication by singing more to the Lord. It doesn't say, if you have a good voice, be filled with the Spirit and sing to the Lord. No. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do it. When I was a kid in the 80s, man, it seemed like we did that a lot more. People would sing in the Holy Ghost. We'd have times where we would just have extended periods of time where we just sang in the Spirit. We sang in the Holy Ghost. And I remember one time I was driving down the road with my mom and my sister. And as we were driving, I saw this sign. I was 10 years old. I'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I see this sign and it said, laundromat open. And so being a kid, sometimes kids just read every sign that they see. I was saying, laundromat open. Laundromat open, no. Laundromat open, no. Laundromat open, no. Laundromat open, no. Which explains a lot about why my son is the way he is. But anyway, so I'm just saying, and my sister tells my mom, tell Daniel to be quiet. And she says, Bethany, you be quiet. He is singing in tongues. Leave him alone. He's singing in the Spirit. Man, I felt terrible. I didn't have the heart to tell her, no, I'm just singing a song of a sign I saw, Laundromat open. But it was so common, that, well, hell, he's just singing in the Spirit. That's what we do. But when was the last time you just heard somebody singing in the Holy Ghost? Just praising God, singing in the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you were just walking around the house singing in the Holy Ghost? You might have revival in your house if you do that. Your kids will say, whoa, what happened to Mom? She's singing in the Holy Ghost. She must be happy. Hallelujah. She must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's an evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. So the first C is communication. The second C is conduct. You've heard it said that actions speak louder than words. 1 John 4:20 says this. You can go ahead and turn there. 1 John 4:20. So you can see this for yourself. There's a whole lot about love in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and in the Gospel of John. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says this. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he had not seen? And so I got a hold of that and realized John knew about love. He realized that if I want to grow in my actions, if I want to grow in love for people, I need to grow in my actions of love for people and for others. I need to put some feet to my faith. I need to maybe do something. And we demonstrate our love for God in our conduct toward others. And sometimes that takes a conscious effort to do something. Not just say it, because it would be kind of hollow to my wife if I was always telling her how much I love her, but I never showed her in any way. So it's important that you also in your conduct. Number three, the third C is contributions. You can grow in your love for God by your contributions. You can grow in love toward others by what you're willing to contribute. John 3:16, and Pastor Bob has preached this so many times, but I'm telling you, I think I'm getting it. I think I'm getting it, Pastor. It's good. Hallelujah. Keep preaching it. John 3:16, God so loved that He gave. That's God. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because He's our provider. He's the shepherd. He gives to us. He's constantly giving of Himself. The shepherd gives His life for the sheep, the Bible says. 1 John 4:9 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And you know, Matthew 6:21 says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you're giving the most. To grow in love, you have to grow in your ability to give more of your heart to God. You have to be willing to give some effort. Give some pain. Give some time. And I don't want to get to heaven and see everybody that gave so much. I don't want to stand next to the woman with the alabaster box who poured that out to the Lord and, man, I gave nothing. And think, oh, man, what did I give? man, it was hard for me to give 10%, much less a year's wages. Wow. And again, God loves us all the same, but not everyone loves Him the same. And if I'm going to grow in my love for Him, maybe I need to grow in how much I'm willing to give Him and what I'm willing to give Him. So, hallelujah. And it's a lot more than just money, too. You know, some people have a hard time tithing, and it's like some people look for a way to get out of it. But I'm not looking for a way not to give. I'm looking for a way to give. And I know I need to check my heart when I start trying to figure out ways I can give God less. And say, well, now let's see. Maybe if we do this, then we won't have to do this. And, hey, maybe I can give God less this way, and I can keep more for myself. Check your heart. You know there's a problem. It's just an indicator. And it's more than money. It's your life. It's everything. It's the pain. It's the effort. It's the work that it takes. Again, I don't want to get to heaven and be standing there next to Paul, Stephen, Peter, Jesus, and they're all talking about it. Man, I love God. Oh, man, I love God with everything I've got. And I'm standing there, and I'm just saying, man, it was awesome. Wasn't life on earth awesome living for the Lord? And Stephen say, oh, man, it was awesome. Man, I gave my life for Him. They stoned me. They threw rocks and till I was dead, and I gave my life for Him. And Paul says, man, I was beaten with rods 5 times. I was stoned 3 times, man. You talk about giving. I got up and kept giving and kept giving and kept giving. And it was an honor to do that. Man, what a privilege to be able to do that. And Peter's like, man, I was hung upside down, y'all. Upside down on a cross. They crucified Peter upside down because he felt like he wasn't worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. He said, no, hang me upside down. So they did. Could you imagine that? And Jesus is like, man, the cost. I tell you what, it was so well worth it. What we suffered to win the lost, what we gave to reach others and to show our love for God, we suffered even unto death. What did you suffer? And they look at me. I say, well, I got a real big blister on my foot from walking and leading people to the Lord. I had to walk a lot. Y'all, I gave 10%. I gave 10% of what I had to the Lord. Every paycheck. Come on, how does it compare really? Think about it. What are we giving to the Lord? Hebrews 12:1. And I know you people say, well, it's not good to compare. You know, but read this. Hebrews 12:1 says, and it's talking about right after Hebrews 11, what everybody did by faith, the Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame. And you go back and read all those things that people did. I'm telling you, there's a record of it in heaven. And hallelujah, and you compare your love maybe with other people's love for somebody, you might say, maybe I need to give a little more. Maybe I need to do a little more. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why would he say, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, unless it might take some patience? You know, we're complaining because we didn't get to eat on Easter when we did the Easter outreach and other people got the food and we're working. Man, I didn't get to eat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, that's awesome. You mean you suffered a little bit? Praise God. But you don't understand. I had to wait in line. Did you see the line? I waited and waited and waited. Do you mean you had to have some patience? Awesome. You grew in patience. Praise God. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. It took some endurance? Huh. You mean Jesus had to endure something? You mean I might have to endure something? I might have to endure sitting here and listening to this guy preach? You might have to. You might have to endure some things. But praise God, you're enduring things for the Lord. You're enduring something. And you should want to. Man, I want to. When I'm out there and I'm sowing and I'm getting tired, it's hot, it's rainy, and I look at other people and I just say, man, we're enduring something for God. We're enduring something for Him. Praise God. I'm not going to say I didn't endure anything. Verse 3, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. I love verse 4. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Remember when Jesus was sweating great drops of blood? Man, we think we're just sweating a little bit of suffering. In the Bible, God's saying it Himself. You haven't resisted unto sweating drops of blood. Come on. You haven't been crucified yet. You haven't been stoned and killed and beat and all that stuff. You haven't gone to strive against sin. There's going to be some endurance. There's going to be some resisting that's going to take place. I know it's not a great popular message, but you know what? When you think about it, man, what an honor. It should be a popular message. It should be a, man, I would be honored to do that. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, verse 5, it says, have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I think it's interesting that he talks about correction right here, right after this. Which brings me to my fourth C, is correction. Correction. We've got to grow in our ability to receive correction. Because correction is vital. Proverbs 13:24 says, if you love your children, you'll correct them. If you don't love them, you won't correct them. That's the CEV version. If you love your children, you'll correct them. If you don't, you won't. And I'm telling you, my parents loved me dearly. We had a paddle on it that said, love lifted me on the paddle. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, when I would get spanked, I remember I used to flop around like a fish and bawl and squall and try to talk my way out of it and say, well, Dad, let me explain, and try to do everything I could to get out of the correction. Finally, my dad just one time got tired of it and said, look, son, just take it like a man. And I said, what do you mean? I'm not a man. I'm a kid. Take it like a man. He said, I tell you what, I will be easier on you if you'll just take it like a man. So I said, you will? Okay. Easier sounds better. And I found that was true. And not only have I found that with that, but I've learned a lesson that is true throughout life. If you will learn how to receive correction better, it will be easier on you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Give God praise for that. Awesome. And I remember a few years ago, it seemed like I couldn't do anything right. It seemed like everything I was doing was wrong, and it was a mistake, and there were problems. And I was just being corrected all the time. And there are times and seasons like that maybe in your life where you seem like, man, I just feel like I'm being corrected all the time. And there were days I would just have to walk and say, Lord, I receive Your correction, God. I receive Your instruction. I receive Your correction. I receive it, Lord. And I had to embrace that and say, God, I receive Your instruction. I receive it, God. Lord, I know You love me. And correction really is a gift. It's not a punishment. Because correction says you can make something right. And so you've got to grow in your ability to receive correction. It's an opportunity to avoid punishment. Because my parents taught me correction is not punishment. Hell is ultimately punishment. But correction means you don't have to go to hell. You can correct it. And man, what a blessing that is to say, Lord, I'm going to receive correction from You. A fifth C is compliance. Compliance. John 15:10. You can go ahead and turn there. John 15:10. This is vital that we grow in our compliance with the Lord. Another word would be obedience to the Lord. John chapter 15 and verse 10. It says, if you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. Jesus had to learn obedience. Jesus had to obey. So do we. John 14:15, He said, if you love Me, keep my commandments. So obedience is a sign of love. And you grow in love by growing in your level of obedience to God. Remember whenever Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, then keep my commandments. He said, feed my sheep. That's what I've told you to do. What are you doing out here? He was not obeying. Remember, Peter said, I'm going fishing. And he took off fishing when he was supposed to be feeding the sheep. And then Jesus showed up and it was like, Jesus! And Peter jumped out of the boat real quick. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. You know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, you know. Then keep my commandments. Obey me. Do what I tell you to do. And remember, he saw John right there and he said, well, what about this guy? How many times do we do that? John, the apostle of love, of course, he was pressing into Jesus. And sometimes that probably irritated Peter. I'm sure Peter wanted to slap John upside the head sometimes. Because John's like, I love you, Jesus. And Peter's like, sure you do. What about this guy? And Jesus said, hey, mind your own business. You follow me. Obey me. You obey me. Don't look at other people. You get busy serving the Lord. Mind your own business. I heard this story about a guy who learned how to mind his own business. He was walking by the insane asylum. He was walking by, there was a big fence there, and he heard some people over on the other side of the fence, and they were yelling, 14, 14, 14, 14. He thought, what is going on? Why are they yelling 14? There was a little hole there in the fence, so he stuck his eye up to the fence. All of a sudden, somebody poked him right in the eye. Ow! And all of a sudden, he heard, 15, 15, 15, 15. Hallelujah. Just mind your own business. Get to work. You won't get poked in the eye that way. I love how Pastor says, stay out of everybody's cat fights. Amen? Just get to work, man. We have too many souls out there that we need to save rather than worrying about what somebody else is doing or what they're doing or they're doing or, well, she did this or she did that or whatever. Man, let's just win the lost. And I had to obey God. And I learned something about obedience from Barry Moulton. He taught me something about obedience that I love. When we were first doing this, we first started our soul winning. It was amazing what God did. This is phenomenal. It's miraculous. I was telling the group from Baytown today in the training about how it was amazing how we started in one day. God did it actually, but in one day, it was a Wednesday night. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown was here. He was given the vision. Pastor Bob was saying, you know what, we're going to do this. And Pastor Bob got up and said, you know what, we're going to start tomorrow. Soul winning evangelism outreach. That's almost like a whole department in itself. Tomorrow we're starting outreach. And one day, like on Wednesday, was the day it came. The command came. And we started Thursday. Outreach. We started a bus ministry. We started a food ministry. And we started a phone ministry. In one day. Wow. And I remember standing there thinking, how? Oh my gosh. But my heart was to do it. I wanted to do it. And so they said, we're going to have some people come in and help you. Brock Patino and his wife Holly were here and they helped us get started. And Brock was saying, it looks like you're kind of the man to do this. And you know, you're involved, you're plugged in, you have a heart for souls. I think you ought to do this. And I'm thinking, man, I can't do this all by myself. There's no way. Outreach, I can't do that. And he said, don't worry, God will raise up people. God will send laborers. I'm thinking, well, he better. Because if not, I'm stuck. It's kind of like I'm the one here holding the bat and everybody else is left for outreach and for soul winning and going out door to door in that particular type of ministry and reaching the lost. He said, God will send people. And so we started having training. You know, we were having training meetings. And I remember Barry and Sherry coming in and walking in. And I was like, yes. And not only was I like, yes, I was saying, okay, he was wanting to help. He was wanting to say, I want to do this with you guys. God's called me to do this. And he started sharing his testimony. And then I would ask him, okay, Barry, we're gonna split up into two groups. We're going to go hit this part of the city. We're going to go hit this part. Which part of the city do you want to hit? And he'd say, whatever you want me to do. And I said, I love you, man. You are awesome. And then something else would happen the next time. You know, I'm like, okay, I've got two groups here. You know, we've got these people here, and we've got these people here. Which group do you want to take? You want to take this one or that one? Whatever you want me to do. No, really, what do you want to do? Whatever you want me to do. And I said, I need that. I need that attitude. I've got to have that attitude. And so I started adopting that attitude. To where I started saying, I don't know if Charlie has noticed, sometimes he'll say, and I'll say, whatever you want me to do, Charlie, because I'm thinking about Barry Moulton. I'm thinking about people that I have seen as we've gone out. I've actually learned probably more from people soul winning coming out than even I have maybe even in ministry after many years. I mean, since 1996, I've been in full-time ministry, and God's blessed me. But I've learned more probably in the last 9 months just from people that are doing it. And I say, wow, that's awesome. I need to get that attitude of, I can do that. Remember that? Pastor Bill Knott from Australia gave us the revelation of, I can do that. Man, what a blessing. Whatever you want me to do. And God raised up laborers, but it took obedience, it took faith, it took work, it took effort, it took prayer. And it kind of took, Lord, what do we do in the meantime? And sometimes there's a meantime between where God tells you what to do and then you see the fruit of it. That time in between is called the meantime. And it can be mean, trust me. Where God says, I want you to go. You go and you do it. And you're saying, but Lord, this is going to take a... And it might. Whenever a plane's taken off, that's when it requires the most effort. That's when you got the full thrust. You got to give it full throttle. And I'm telling you, if you haven't given it full throttle yet, you need to. Because, buddy, Lord knows we are. Amen? It's kind of like we're all pushing the car sweating and you're sitting on the bumper. Hey, guys. Would that fly? And we're like, what is your problem? Get off and push. Amen. Once we get it cranked up, this thing will run on its own. Amen. It'll just fly and you can hop in and we'll all hop in and just enjoy. But there are things that God calls us to do where sometimes it takes some extra effort. It takes some extra push. It takes that pray until something happens. You know, it takes that extra push of work, of faith and effort. Number six here, and we're getting close to being done. Compassion. The sea of compassion. We need to grow in our compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. Mark chapter 1 verse 40. It says, there was a leper that came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, he said unto him, if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Jesus never told anybody, no, I won't heal you. It's not my will that you be clean. Now, there was the one lady that he said, it's not right for me to give the children's bread and give it to the dogs. But you know, he knew what she would say, and he knew she would get healed. Praise God. He knew she was going to get healed. But nowhere did anybody ever say, if it be thy will, he said, no, it's not my will. It says he was moved with compassion and he did something. He was moved to action. And you have to trust that God's will is to have compassion on you. God's will is to have compassion on people. And Jesus' heart is broken for the lost. Our heart must be broken for the lost. And when you hurt, he hurts. And when we see people hurting, our hearts should hurt for hurting people. When we see things like the tornado in Oklahoma that came, man, my heart was broken for those people. I'm moved with compassion. And I have people come up to me and tell me, you know, I need prayer. And I say, what do you need prayer for? They say, I really honestly just need prayer and having more compassion for the lost to be able to go out and to do this. And you know, I'll tell you honestly, there was a lot of what I did was not that I did it necessarily out of compassion when I first started, but as I've been doing it, I've been growing in compassion for people. I've gotten to know people, and I've gotten to meet people and talk with them and go to their door and knock on their door expecting to say hi, and they're being evicted. And I find out, well, the girls are having to go over here, and the guys are having to go over here and live in this shelter, and the family's going to be split up. And these are your friends, and you're like, man, What can I do to help? And you want to do whatever you can to help them. And you know, you can't help everybody, I know that, but you can have compassion. You can be a friend to somebody and you can keep sowing into somebody's life and helping them any way you can. And with them, it wasn't a financial situation. It was just, it was a situation they were in for other reasons. They weren't going to come to me and tell me, oh, we're getting evicted. Can you give me any money? They didn't ask. But I care about them because they've become friends. And I was out one day out in the community. And I know Craig and Becky have been dealing with people for years in these areas. And for a lot of us, we're new to people that are facing these situations. And it's kind of hitting us. And we're growing in our love and our compassion for people and seeing the need. But I was standing next to a guy one time at a Stitches event. And I'm talking to the guy, and Craig's up there preaching. And next to me, the guy's, you know, I was talking to him and said something about his little brother. And I said, oh, really? Where is he? And he said, oh, well, he got killed. Really? He's 9 years old. He got killed? Yeah, he got killed in a drive-by. He was hopping a fence and caught a stray bullet. And I'm thinking, what? 9-year-old kid? Man, and my heart just broke for the guy. I'm so sorry. And he was like, oh, no, it's no big deal. I mean, it's okay. It happens all the time, that kind of stuff, you know? And I just think, man, my heart breaks for people. I'm moved with compassion as I get to know them and I see their needs. And isn't that the method of Jesus? Isn't that what Jesus did? He came to earth and he became one of us so that he could be moved with the feelings of our infirmities. And we had a girl that she's recently been coming out soul winning with us. And she's on fire for God. And she gave a testimony in youth one Saturday night a while back. And man, my heart just broke with her testimony. She just wanted to share what God has done in her life, that she's been set free. She went to a party. She didn't use good judgment. She knew she shouldn't have gone and she went. Some boy slipped a thing in her drink. This girl's in high school. Slipped something in her drink. Next thing she knows, she's passing out, being drugged in a room. She comes to for a moment. They're dragging her into a room. She's yelling out, and her friends aren't helping her. And I'm thinking, what? What kind of friends are these? She wakes up again, and there's a boy on top of her. And she loses her purity. And she was basically robbed and stolen from. And her heart was so grieved. And man, my heart was just breaking for this girl. I thought, Lord, how can this kind of stuff happen? Because people need help. But she started coming and she said, I wanted to tell somebody. And she wrote a song. She wanted to tell her mom about what happened. She wrote a song and left it at home. And as she left it at home, she went to school and her mom found the song. And as she was reading this, she thought, man, I need to talk to my daughter. What is the song about? When her daughter came home, she went to her daughter and said, what about this song? And she said, what song? She said, the song. You know what song. Who is that about? And she finally confessed and said, Mom, that song is about me. That was me that happened to. And they cried together and they talked about it. And their whole family loaded up and started coming soul winning. They brought the whole family in soul winning. And they started winning souls. And it's been awesome what God has done in that family and in her life. And she was so free. And she was telling that story with happy on her face, saying, you know what? I'm free. I've released forgiveness for those people. I don't have any bitterness in my heart anymore toward them. And it came through forgiveness and through confession. Hallelujah, which brings my next C, confession. Confession. We need to grow in our ability to confess things to the Lord and to go to Him. Love is confessing your sin and turning from it. It's time to stop the abuse. It's time to stop hurting if you've been abused. And that Jesus' blood cannot cover and wash away what you don't uncover. Confession. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so there might be some things in your heart that you need to confess to the Lord. Say, God, forgive me, Lord. Help me to grow in my compassion. God, help me to grow in my coldness. My love has grown cold. And if people say, I don't understand, why is my love cold? I'm doing everything that I'm doing. I'm on fire for God. I'm coming to church every time the doors are opening. I'm even going out soul winning. I'm doing these things. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying every day. I've got the hot turned on full blast. Why am I lukewarm? And maybe that you've got the cold on full blast too. Have you ever gotten in the shower and you turn on all hot and then you turn on all cold and you find out it's perfect? Lukewarm? Well, God doesn't like lukewarm in His drink. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm is just equal parts of hot and cold. And so, I tell you, you say, how do I get more on fire for God? Try turning off the cold. You want to get on fire in the shower? Turn off the cold. You get on fire real quick. And you're saying, I don't understand. How can my life be this way? Just turn off the cold in your life. Confess some things. Repent. Change. And turn. Let God do a work in your heart. Hallelujah. I want us all to stand. Hallelujah. Johnny, if you wouldn't mind coming on up to the piano. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe God is doing a work in some people's heart right now. I want everyone to just bow your heads and just close your eyes. And let's just come to the Lord right now. Kibro mongo sitikiasi, abra monongo satakasi, ibro babongo satakasi, tikiara bogo satakasi. O ramangasi, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we thank You for cleansing us tonight. God wants to clean you up. God wants to set you free tonight. Hallelujah. There are people here tonight that maybe you're not on fire for God like you once were. And you need to come back to God. You want that fire again, that passion on the inside of your heart. And you say, you know what? I want to confess something before the Lord. I'm not going to ask you what sin you've been doing or whatever's been going on. The Bible says if we say, oh, I haven't sinned, then we're liars because we know you have. And if your heart says, you know what? There is some sin I need to get out of my life. I do need to turn the cold off. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you don't know tonight, if you died tonight, you don't know if you would go to heaven. You can know. The Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, not may be saved, but shall be saved. It's a promise. And you can be sure no matter what you've done, no matter what is going on in your past or whatever went on today, you can have the assurance of your salvation. Whether you were the person that was abused or you were the person that did the abusing, God loves you just the same. All He's asking is for you to love Him and for you to receive Him tonight. And God wants to set you free. Maybe you have been abused and you've got bitterness, unforgiveness, things in your heart that's been bugging you, it's been hurting you. And you say, you know what, I need to get that junk out of my life. I'm telling you, confession brings deliverance and it brings freedom, it brings joy. God wants to restore the joy of your salvation. Maybe you've been born again, like I say once before, maybe it was a long time ago, but you're away from God. You're not on fire for God like you once were. Or if I asked you on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being red hot on fire for God, where are you this very second? If you can't say I'm a 5, then you need to confess some things to the Lord. Come to Him and let Him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Let Him give you a compassion and a passion for the lost. Let Him give you a hunger for the things of God. Let Him give you a holy boldness to preach the gospel like you know you should be preaching the gospel. Let Him do a work in you. But it comes through confessing and through saying, God, I want to repent. God, I want to change. God, I come to You now because I want to draw closer to You. If that's you, if you want me to pray for you, I want you to just lift your hand right now. Say, pray for me. Just lift it up high and say, pray for me. I want to grow in that kind of love. Thank you. I see that hand and that hand and that hand. That hand. Thank you. I see those hands in the back. That hand right there. Awesome. Praise God. God's doing a work in your life. I'm telling you, as you raise your hand, I'm telling you, you're saying, God, I want to come closer to You. Lord, I want to repent. I want to be more on fire for You than I've ever been in my life. Hallelujah. If you lifted your hand or if you should have, I want you to just come down right now. Just come down right here and I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to do a work. Just come on down. Those first steps are the steps of obedience that it takes. I'm telling you, you got to grow in your obedience. Just come down. You say, oh, I don't really want to come down. Obey. Just obey. As you do, you'll find that you'll start growing in your love and your compassion and what God's doing in your heart. Well, I really don't want to confess. Come on, you got to die to pride. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And we sing that song, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, I'm telling you, the inverse is true also. If God is against you, you're in trouble. Nobody can be for you if God is against you. And He said He is against the proud. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You might have pride in your life, and pride is holding you back. And you say, man, I can't go forward. What will people think? Man, break free of that pride and say, Lord, I'm humbling myself and I'm coming forward. As you do, watch what God does to you and through you and for you. And watch the junk just begin to fall off. If you need to be up here, I want you to just come up right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just sing something, Johnny. Just bow your heads and begin to pray up here at the front. Hallelujah. If you're out there and you need to come, I want you to come. I want you, if you need to, turn to somebody and say, hey, I'll go with you if you want to go. Just say, hey, I'll go with you if you want to come down there, if you want to get set free. Or you might have a friend or a buddy and say, you know what? Let's get more on fire for God than we've ever been before and come down with them. Say, you know what? Let's make a change in our life. Let's make an effort, a conscious effort to get closer to God, to press in a little bit more. Hallelujah. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she pressed in and touched the hem of His garment. If she had not pressed in, she would not have been healed. She would have died. If Barry Moulton had not pressed in and said, God, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to go do what you've told me to do. He would have died. Hallelujah. But instead, God healed him. He healed his kidneys, completely healed. Praise God. God's continuing work in his body. Hallelujah. Doctor said, we don't have to do any more biopsies on you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you've been dealing with some stuff. The answer is in coming closer to God and obeying Him, doing what He told you to do. It's not God causing that on you. God wasn't the one saying, Barry, you go do this or I'm going to kill you. It was, Barry, you're dying. I want to help you. Come on. And He did, and God did a work in him. And it's, man, countless thousands of people have been touched and changed as a result. Praise God. It took obedience. And just saying, God, I'm willing to obey. Oh, rabagasi tikiasi. Ko rabagasatakasi. Hallelujah. Oh, rabamangosi tiki. Again, everyone, bow your heads. Everyone, bow your heads. Just begin to pray. Pray that people that are in the valley of decision right now will make the right decision. Hallelujah. If you're in that valley of decision, just come forward right now. If you want to take that step, I'm giving you an opportunity. There's like an umbrella and an anointing here right now for you to be set free. I want you to step out and come out now. I'm telling you, come out now from where you are. That first step is the hardest, but if you'll do it, God will set you free. He'll change you. He'll use you in an awesome way. He'll set you on fire. You'll find the freedom that you've been longing for. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, God's doing a work in your life. God's setting you free. God's touching you. He's changing you. You just cry out to the Lord. You confess to Him. Hallelujah. God wants to set you free. People are getting set free up here. I wish you could see what's happening. People are getting set free up here. Praise God. God's at work. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Awesome. Well, I want to hang on. Here comes one more. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Say, you know what? I want in on this. There's no shame in coming to the altar. The shame is staying there if you need to come. Hallelujah. Awesome. Hallelujah. Here comes more. More are coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is doing a work in us, y'all, as a church. And God is doing a work in this city. He's doing a work in this nation. He's calling people to repentance. He's calling people to Him. He's drawing people unto Him. Because there's something going on, y'all, in this last hour. I'm telling you, I sense an urgency like I've never felt before in winning the lost. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing others with the same urgency, and there's a reason for it. I had someone from Granbury, a pastor from Granbury, called me. He said, can you come and teach us how to lead people to the Lord? We want to win souls. We want to win souls. The next day, a tornado came, killed 6 people in Granbury. We weren't able to get there. The next day, a tornado came. And I just think, oh, I wish we could have got there sooner. Man, I don't know what's coming in the United States. And I'm not speaking fear or trying to promote fear or whatever, but I see the signs of the times and I see something is happening here. There's a revival that's coming here for a reason, and we need to get close to God real quick. Amen? We need to get close to God real quick, and we need to get as many others close to God as fast as we can. God's doing a quick work and He's cutting it short in righteousness. So sense the urgency tonight. Praise God. It's the best decision you can ever make in your life to say, God, I give you my life. God, I give you everything. I'm pouring it all out. Everyone just bow your heads. Close your eyes. Hallelujah. I want you just to repeat this prayer after me with your heart and your lips out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you on the basis of your word. You said, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm a whosoever. God, I call on the name of Jesus right now. God, forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Set me free. God, I forgive anyone who has hurt me. And I ask you to forgive me for how I have hurt anyone else. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe He is risen from the dead and He's coming back for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, give me a passion and a compassion for the lost. God, give me a holy boldness to preach the gospel and to tell others and to help others. I do believe Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and He's coming back for me. Hallelujah. Now just lift your hands and just say this part with boldness. Say, I am saved. I am born again. I am on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord's just beginning to touch you right now. Thank you, Jesus. He's setting you free of stuff. He's filling you. Praise God. God's doing a work. I'm telling you, you're here for such a time as this. And y'all are kind of the first fruits of what's coming. And God wants you now to start winning others and to start winning the lost. And He's going to set you more on fire. You've turned off the cold tonight. Now watch your life just get hot, red hot, on fire for God. Communicate. Remember the C's. Communicate with God more. Your conduct, your actions. Let your actions line up with your words. Your contribution. Be willing to give more to the Lord. Say, God, I give you everything. I'm giving you my life. Receive the correction of the Lord. Be in compliance with God. Obey Him. Compassion. Let that compassion for the lost just move you. And you've confessed. If you sin, God's faithful and just to forgive you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got a brother, Craig McClintock, on staff here at Calvary Cathedral International with Operation Stitches. If you would please, if you lifted your hand and came forward, I want you to please go with this gentleman. He wants you to spend another moment in prayer. We've got a little booklet we want to give you that'll be a blessing. If you could just go with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, thank God for 20 people coming to the Lord on a Wednesday night. Praise God. 20 people. Thank you, God, coming to the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, a rededication is as awesome as a salvation if you're the one that needs it. Amen. It's like Pastor Bob says, a headache can be the worst thing in the world if you're the one that has it. And I'll tell you what, to rededicate your life to the Lord is an awesome thing, and to be free and set free. Thank you guys so much. I want to encourage you to come out soul winning with us. Tomorrow is 2 o'clock if you can come. Friday, 2 o'clock. Saturday, 10 a.m. As you get plugged in, as you start doing...